Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Tuesday night. You heard that right. Tuesday night, June 4th, 2024. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, to be found on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room like I always do and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this episode here tonight, starting with, from the Rob the Genius Podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And always a pleasure having you. We've got a hell of a show lined up tonight, but we are never, ever, ever alone. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast resident high flyer, Bucky's tag team partner, a man hailing from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, destined to go through a barbershop window, and I did that out of sequence, I know. Jason, how's your Tuesday?
You stuck the landing, man.
I stuck the landing.
Honestly, if you hadn't said anything at the end, it would have been flawless. So I commend you. You lost track and then immediately regained control.
I fumbled the football and recovered, sir. I am a professional.
Damn right.
So we are recording on a Tuesday night because Jason is going to be on assignment Thursday, and we just don't like riding without him. You know, we had that option. We said, no, you know what? This is a three-man weave. We're going to keep it three men. We're going to change our nights for Jason's schedule.
Yes.
Let's be real. The Boston Celtics are in the NBA Finals. It will be game one. I will be absolutely, positively useless to you two because my eyes will be glued to the screen and I will be like, hey, how what? Yeah, Roman Reigns is the big dog of the World Wrestling Federation. I sure do miss him.
And then that'll be the beginning, middle, and end of Jason's contribution if we record on a Thursday night.
Exactly.
So we have got a big show lined up for you guys. We are doing a triple threat watch along this week. A little bit slow in wrestling this week, so we decided on the slower news weeks where not a whole lot's happening, we would do watch-alongs a little more frequently. We have three awesome matches lined up for you, and I'd say that without any hyperbole or any jokes or malcontent, because, you know, sometimes on this show we are known for finding the dumbest matches and watching them and subjecting Jason to all sorts of horror in terms of wrestling sports entertainment.
I'll defend us a little bit, though, because we do like to lean into the cartoon aspect of wrestling. And while there have been some matches that you guys have put me through that have tested the limits of my wackiness, in the end, we're all here for Saturday morning cartoons. But DJ is, I believe, correct in that I think we will appeal, unfortunately, to the more marquee audience with these at least two of these matches. And the third one has worked well, but it has people that, you know, might not be the internet wrestling community's favorite. So without further ado, DJ, do you want to get us off to our first match?
We are going to hop in a time machine and travel all the way back to 1987. Was he NWA or WCW at this point, Rob?
It was still NWA.
It was the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Rugged, before he was Rugged, Ronnie Garvin. You heard that right. NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ronnie Garvin versus Ric Flair in a cage at Starrcade 87. From there, we're going to fast forward a couple of years to the first Clash of the Champions. That'd be Clash of the Champions 1. We are going to watch a tag team match, the Fantastics versus the Midnight Express. And then we are going to jump back in that time machine, fast forward all the way forward to 2018. From there, we're going to watch the pre-Tribal Chief Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. So we've got an awesome, awesome show lined up for you guys tonight. I know the boys wanted to kick something around here last night. We had a big debut on Raw. I have not seen it, so I don't have a whole lot to offer here. I'm going to let Jason and Rob take the floor and just talk for a couple minutes about the debut and how you felt about it.
You want to go first? Do you want me to do it, Jason?
Well, he's on mute, so take over.
All right, so last night was the debut of Kiana James. She was drafted to Raw, to a lot of people's surprise. I don't think anybody had her getting drafted to Raw, but she was. And we have not seen her for a few weeks since. She did work some matches on Main Event. Last night was her Monday Night Raw debut, and by no fault of her own, it was not very good. And I'm saying by no fault of her own, because she did not do anything bad. She did not do anything wrong. It's the presentation was fucked.
I mean, so I saw someone, I don't remember who it was, but someone on my timeline put it perfectly. I mean, the girl came out there with her little bag and the theme music. She came out, she did the best she could to be like, hey, I'm a hot, pretentious bitch, you know, to get that character across. And then she beat Daddy and, you know, won the match and waved to the crowd and whatnot. And it's just like, I saw someone put it perfectly. If this was the old days, there would have been vignettes for weeks of her, like, being rude to waitstaff and, like, buying hotels so that she can fire people and things like that before we even saw her in the ring. And now it's just, she's a pretty, to someone who doesn't watch NXT, she's a pretty girl with a handbag who's can wrestle pretty well, and she beat Natty, so really, what does that say? Everybody beats Natty. No offense, but it is what it is. I don't know, it's just, as someone who does watch NXT and does know how good Kiana James is and how far she's taken that character, like, this was borderline insulting to all the work she's done. It was it's bullshit.
And I mean, so before the match, they had a backstage promo, and again, whoever wrote it for her, basically she spent the entire promo talking about how great Natty was and did not say one word about herself. So this opening promo, this introductory promo where you're supposed to tell the audience who you are and what you're about and what you're here for, and try to get some aspect of your character over, they did not write any of that stuff for her. Instead, she spent, like, was it a minute or whatever, talking about how great Natty was.
And I get the point because, okay, then when you go out and beat her, I guess that says something. But this is not day one stuff we need to be doing with Kiana James. We need to tell the audience who Kiana James is. Because, again, I can't stress this enough, she's awesome. So let her be awesome. Help her be awesome. Like, do what you guys are supposedly the best in the world at.
And so they, and remember, if you just watch, like, most of the people who watch Raw and SmackDown only watch Raw and SmackDown. They do not watch NXT. They have never seen this girl. And other than when she got drafted, they saw her name in a picture. And that's it. This is your introduction. And so they gave her a backstage promo where she talked about Natty and how great Natty is and didn't say much of anything about herself or her character or anything. And like Jason said, she walked out there as a pretty lady with a handbag and a skirt.
She had a handbag. And did she even have like a skirt thing on, or she was just in her gear with a handbag?
I think she had a skirt around her gear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But even still, it's just like, that's not, again, we've seen vignettes of her like dressed to the nines in suits and dresses and all that stuff. So it's just like, you're not getting the full breadth of this character across. And I understand. It's week one, so maybe be a little, you know, forgiving. But like Rob said, she didn't talk about herself.
So
it bothered me.
Yeah, and so I mean they got crickets during the whole match because again this is somebody you don't know this woman. If you're in, you know, most of the people in the building don't know who this woman is.
And I'm sorry, Natty's reaction at this point depends on the person she's on the other side of the ring with. If Natty's in the mat, like somebody you care about and they're cooking, all right, Natty's going to get a reaction. But other than that.
I mean, honestly, some people probably thought it was Natty versus a jobber.
Yeah.
Definitely. And Natty still ended up losing.
And it was like a 2-minute match on top of that. It wasn't like, they didn't go out there and have like 10 minutes and go back and forth and you can see what Kiana can really do in the ring. It was 2 minutes.
The 2 minutes was perfectly fine. She blocked a sharpshooter. She, you know, did her finisher. You know, we're out of here. But that again, for a debut match for no one knows who this girl is. Again, the wider audience. I don't know, man. It sucked because, you know, they failed her. I cannot stress this enough. She did the best with what she was given, the time she was given, the lines she was given, the match she was given. She worked her ass off, but they gave her shit to work with.
I'm going to interject here a little bit because I was on Twitter earlier today while I was waiting on the jury duty thing. And the general, one of the points, and I wish I could find the tweet, with her character, somebody kind of pointed out that we've already got two versions of that type of character on the main roster. We've got Chelsea Green doing the Karen gimmick, and we've got Tiffany Stratton doing the pretentious bitch gimmick. And you're going to bring another pretentious rich bitch up to the roster.
No one's doing it though. If you're watching Kiana in NXT, and even they carbon copied that character to be modified for the main roster later, as they always are.
Right.
You know, she's doing the, I'm going, like, Tiffany just says she's rich and dresses rich and things like that. Like, Kiana's character is she buys a bar and then she fires people and, like, and she has businesses and all this crap. So
I get that.
I think there is room for, as I just said, there is no room for two priest characters in the pre-show. Yeah, I think there would have been room enough for all of them if they truly lean into Kiana's character. Which, if they're not going to go any which way with her for now, do it because she's got nothing better going on.
Because I mean, like she's more JBL.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, right. Yeah, I mean, she's JBL.
Right, exactly. And so, and now, I mean, again, you got a void. This is the time. I mean, look, I mean, they're bringing Jade and Bianca over to work both shows now.
Sorry, I just thought of the best way to put it, DJ. Tiffany is spending daddy's money. Kiana is making daddy's money.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's week one, but it stood out to me also that like come on, guys.
I think the image of her walking to the ring, like maybe she had already shed the skirt at that point, and even she hadn't, like just her walking to the ring in her gear with the bag and knowing nothing about the character, it's just like, just send her to the ring in her gear. Don't even send the bag out of there. Like if you're not even going to put in that much effort, like don't even bother.
Right. Well, let's see what they do with her. Hopefully they recover. Hopefully she recovers and we move on. Speaking of moving on, Jason, plug in the flux capacitor. Rob, fire up the DeLorean. We are going back in time.
Yes, to give context to this match, because the backstory is interesting, because 1987, so Ric Flair had been the world champion, and they wanted to just basically, they needed to throw some intrigue in there for the next few months. So they want, you know, Dusty wanted them to basically lose the belt for a couple of months and win it back at Starrcade. And the only problem is the guys who were the hot prospects to be world champion, none of them wanted to be a 2-month champion where they knew they were losing it back at Starrcade. You know, it'd be like, you know, if they were asked, well, you know, if Roman came back and won the Royal Rumble and then they said, okay, well, who wants to win the belt from Cody for 2 months? You know, you'd have a bunch of guys be like, not really.
I'm going to discuss that during the match because I think that's relevant. And I'm actually now, when we look at 2024 and we're discussing what we're going to do with Cody, you know, they've revamped the feud with him and AJ Styles. And I threw in the chair shot chat that I thought it might be a good idea, and it's okay to do this with Cody, similar to what they did with Ric Flair and Ronnie Garvin. Let AJ beat him.
Yeah.
You know, let AJ beat him and hold the title for a month or two. You know, you can't be a multi, and I said this, you can't be a multi-time champion until you've lost that belt.
And just a sidebar, turned out, you know, that scene Friday was based on the Mark Henry, you know.
Yes.
And Mark Henry came out and said he was supposed to win the belt. Vince was going to have him win the belt, but he said, you know, basically physically, I'm fucked.
I'm beat up.
Yeah, I can't do the schedule. So,
yep.
Hey, good on Mark though, because I mean,
yeah.
How many other guys would just like grin and bear it through the payday?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, oh trust me, yeah. So yeah, I give him credit for being an honest, stand-up guy about it. But in this case, so like you know, the younger guys who had aspirations of being world champion did not want to throw away 2-month title reign, so they, you know, said no. And so we got around to Ronnie Garvin. Ronnie was in his 40s. He had never been world champion, and at that point, it looked like he was never going to be world champion. So he, you know, so what did he do? He said, "Hell yeah, I'll take it."
And I'm going to be honest with you. When he won it, I popped because we were big Ronnie Garvin fans in my house, and it was like it was one of those things where Ric Flair had gotten over on everybody by hook or by crook for so long. He had cheated in so many nefarious ways to hold on to that championship. But fucking anybody could have beat him. And I probably would have popped for it.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was Ronnie Garvin and we were big fans in the house, it just made that moment even more special for me.
And Ronnie was one of the guys who had been foiled by the Horsemen various times, by Rick and by Tully Blanchard and by Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
So he finally got his, you know, he finally got his win here. And so now the only problem is, but he was the ultimate example of the now what world champion, because once he had it, this is according to Tony Schiavone, he drew so bad they just took him off the road.
Yeah.
And until Starrcade.
And that's the nuance that people who really love a wrestler, and again, we keep going back to Cesaro here. We loved Cesaro the wrestler. But did everybody who's supposed to, who's buying a ticket to the house shows, love Cesaro enough to put the world championship on him? And I think that answer would have been polarizing had they pulled the trigger there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not a knock on Cesaro. It just is what it is, just like Ronnie Garvin. It is what it is. I mean, I loved him. I think Rob was a fan, but we don't represent the large ticket buying audience.
And also, look, everybody knew. I mean, you beat Ric Flair 2 months before Starrcade, and then they announced that you're having a rematch with Ric Flair at Starrcade. Everybody knew what was going to happen.
It was literally the John Cena late thousands, early tens, where you might beat John, but he's going to get you on the next one.
Yeah.
It was literally that booking. So. Yeah. All right, let's get into this, guys. Like I said, we are going way back to WCW. Pull up the Peacock if you have not already and you want to watch along with us. Under the WCW tab, under the Starrcade tab, it is Season 5, Episode 1, Starrcade 1987. If you need to pause the podcast at this time, the timestamp on this one is 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 9 seconds. Go ahead and pause if you need to. Gentlemen, we are going to get into this, okay?
All right, let's do it.
Give you guys a countdown starting in 3, 2, and 1. Yeah, we've got somebody's entrance here. I can't. Oh, here he comes, Ronnie Garvin. This dude, he was never a really tall guy, but he was always in great shape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He just looked like a legit tough guy. Like, he looks like he's looking to punch everybody out.
Yeah.
He's probably 21, isn't he?
He was 42 at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was on the tail. Oh, this okay. is even before he had his WWE run.
Now that the yeah. lights came on, it's like, okay. I just wondered if he's just one of those guys, those wrestlers who looks perpetually 40.
This is yeah. NWA World Heavyweight yeah. Champion Ronnie Garvin versus the Nature Boy Ric Flair World Heavyweight title match in a steel cage.
Gentlemen, gun to my head with the wind blowing the right way, I might tell you that's my favorite belt in wrestling.
It's one of mine, definitely.
Yeah.
It just is, man.
So weird hearing Ric Flair announced as the challenger in 1987. Yeah, that big gold belt was gorgeous.
Yeah.
At some point, I will add that to my replica collection. Because it is a thing of beauty.
I think what helped it is that it retained the big gold belt look through so many different iterations. Like, at this point, it's the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, right?
Yeah, but this is right before they transitioned into being WCW, isn't it, Rob?
Well, it's about a year.
It's about a year or so away from the Turner buying it and turning it into World Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
Well, right, but Turner never even once thought, "Oh, I'm gonna change the belt."
No, they didn't.
Turner knew the importance of branding, and that belt is branded. Like, that's an iconic look.
Yes.
I mean, it's no mistake that the world heavyweight championships and the women's world championship, you know, kind of echo.
They pay homage to it.
They do, and it's no mistake, and it's frankly in my eyes correct.
Yeah, I always loved NWA cage matches, man. They always got bloody, they got violent. It's also always good stuff.
Yeah. And so this was Jim Ross's first pay-per-view for the NWA.
What's TWN, the network?
Oh, it was this thing. It was called the Wrestling Network. It was because Crockett had bought the UWF, and then he tried to run both companies for a while and under that banner. But they eventually just folded the UWF.
Wow.
I love this right here. The psychology here is awesome. Flair goes for the chop, and Garvin just slaps him right back.
And these two, they used to beat the shit out of each other, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even that collar elbow tie-up looked like it hurt.
Yeah, your collar and elbow can make or break the appearance of a match. How you lock up with someone is where the story starts. And if you have a weak lockup, you're going to lose the audience right from the giddy up.
Yeah. I mean, they go slaps, man.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Garvin's slapping the tan off of them. It's so funny because back then, of course, you know, I was a kid at this point. I was, what, just said 87. I was 14. I didn't think about these guys' ages. Like, I really didn't. Like, it didn't matter to me. Like, today, if for some reason, with wrestling fans, there's like this one's 41, this one's 42. Who gives a shit? I'm watching two guys because Flair's probably just south of 40 at this point. Garvin's in his 40s, and they're at the peak of their careers.
Yeah, I think it's more of just trying to project. People are trying to project like they do in every sport. You know, it's like, well, when, you know, like in basketball, once a guy's 27, 28, 29, he's probably at the peak of his powers. Once he's reaching, you know, 34, 35, 36, it might be time it's dang it up. It's just how it goes. So I think that's where it comes from in the fandom.
Yeah.
Oh, man, listen to those slaps.
Oh, it's rough, man.
I How many times has Ric Flair sold a back body drop like that? The scooch around and no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of his staples, man. Yeah.
That's a classic. The way he bumps for the backdrop.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wonder if some of that was due to the way he broke his back. Because remember, he broke his back.
That absolutely was. I think he's talked about that.
He
took it a certain way because, obviously.
Yeah.
The normal, quote-unquote, way didn't agree with his new back.
Some mounted punches here.
Yeah, that's good for a pop. They talked about that during the big... What was that big ESPN Ric Flair documentary? He talked about that after his back surgery, where he had to change the way he bumped.
Yeah.
No springing up from that one.
Oh, yeah. The carbon stomp.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just working everything.
Oh, he hits the whole body, even the face.
I love it. Yeah. He just looks like a mean SOB.
Yeah.
When he's done. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie Garvin was smash awesome. Mouth, man.
What'd you call it, DJ?
What, the Garvin stomp?
Yeah, that's what it was, where he just worked the Garvin stomp.
Yeah, it was the Garvin stomp.
Where he just worked every single part of your body with his foot.
That was
worth the price of admission for this whole watch along.
Oh, man, look, people don't do the back scratch thing anymore either, man.
No, back scratch, and they don't do the eye rake on the top rope. I love the eye when they drag him along the top rope by their eyeballs.
Yep.
That's a great heel move. I think Ambrose may have done it a couple times, but I don't see anybody do that anymore. They need to bring that back. This is, as our good friend Jay would say, this is I hate your face wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to beat the piss out of each other.
Seeing Ric Flair in plain white trunks is weird. If you ever see early pictures of Flair, like when he was first getting started, he was really kind of pudgy and chubby. And then you look at how incredible a shape he got himself into at peak. It amazes me. And to party the way he did and still manage to keep that shape just blows my mind.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'll never be able to watch a single Ric Flair match without, again, thinking of that E60 or whatever it was, where his diet and his lifestyle were just like, you're not human, man.
Right. Like when he told the doctor, they asked him how much he drank, and he told
them. Yeah.
And they're like, what? You should be dead. And
a lot of his life is kayfabe. I firmly believe that was a shoot. This dude was on another planet most of the time.
He was. I think the fact that he was a super athlete probably helped negate some of the abuse.
Oh, yeah. He'd wreck if he wasn't working his ass off every day.
Yeah.
But the ability to keep that going is just crazy. It's just, you're not a well person.
That's an interesting watch, though, because you realize how lonely that dude was and why he did to himself like he did. Because he was trying to fill a void. Something in his life just wasn't satisfied. Ugh. Flair's wearing him out here, man. Dusty, okay, so they're not getting too violent here. They're not using the cage much, so we didn't watch the match. But prior to this, Dusty and Luger were in a steel cage as well. I have a feeling Dusty got bloody in that one, so he probably told the boys no color here.
Well, if Dusty was getting in the cage, he was,
He was going to bleed.
He was cutting himself on the way in. As they were locking the door, he's hitting the gimmick on his forehead.
Yeah, but look, I mean, if we have a time machine, Matt, you have Dusty and Mox to see who bleeds first.
Basically.
Yeah.
We've got a figure four here. Ronnie Garvin's fighting for all he's got. He's had the hell beat out of him for the last 5 minutes here. How much more has he got in the tank? There he is. He's been in that figure four an awful long time. Ric Flair reaching for extra leverage. I love how he's trying to cheat. It's a steel cage match, Rick. You can do this, and it's legal, Rick. You don't have to do it behind a ref's back. Garvin's going to pin himself.
Oh. Damn.
He's got the ropes. Extra leverage.
Got the leverage.
Yeah.
Garvin's trying to turn it over. He's trying to turn it over and reverse it.
Oh.
Here we go. Can he do it? Does he have enough? He's almost there. Just lean into it, Ronnie. Lean into it. There it is. He turns it around. Nope, and Flair rolls back around again.
Ugh. Well, it's fun while it lasted.
This nice, slow, methodical pace, stalking his victim. I just noticed that. I don't know why I didn't notice it before. Garvin, I don't know how guys do this, wrestling without knee pads.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me. Like, I've been in that ring, and I would never get in there without knee pads.
Look, I remember just from high school that Matt Byrne.
Ugh. Yeah, that Matt Byrne is not fun. Knee pads and boots, man. I could never do that barefoot. Bless the guys that can do it, but nope.
I remember high school, if you went out there with no knee pads, they would just look at you like, really, man? Like, you sure you want to do that? And, you know, you were like, yeah, and then, like, well, you'll learn. You'll learn.
It's your funeral, Slick. They're trying to work the cage here. Garvin's blocking Flair right back to the knee. Nope, he's still blocking it. And Flair, face first into the cage.
Color? Any color?
Uh-oh. It could be. I don't know.
He was down for a minute. He was down. No, it doesn't look like it.
Nope, he might get it that time, though.
There
he goes. I think he just did the thing.
I think he just hit the gimmick.
Tell me what it is, boy. There it is. He's got the cage face break.
Red makes green, Daddy.
Oh, boy.
See that when you wait to do it and you don't do it in 30 seconds?
It makes, because now at this part of the story, people are looking at this like, okay, Ronnie Garvin's got a chance. Flair's busted open. You know, Ronnie could actually win this.
Speaking of Red Makes Green Daddy and who's in the backstage of this match right now.
He's biting him. Ah!
Oh, no! Hey,
bit him right on the blood. Ah, that's...
Why?
Listerine!
Run! Just get out of there, Rick. Oh, no. Now we're on the top rope.
Head off the top of the cage.
Oh. Yeah. Rick, you don't actually have to lean into it. You can gimmick it, man.
That was his gimmick. I'm going to hit it with my head. Ronnie Garvin decided, nope, we're not jumping off the top rope tonight, brother. My 42-year-old knees ain't doing that.
Oh, sir.
Now we're using the cage. Slapping the skin off of him.
Brutal.
Man, Ronnie Garvin with one of the best working punches in the business.
Yeah.
At the time.
That was his finisher. His finisher was a knockout punch.
Yep. Garvin's got him in the figure four now. Flair's a mess. He's got blood in his own mouth. Forehead's a mess. Anybody ever sell being in pain any better than Ric Flair?
I don't think so, man. Just the, you know, the agony, the
He's reaching for anybody that'll help him. And of course it's Ric Flair. Nobody's gonna help him.
Right.
We've got a rope break in a cage match. So they make I'm sure half the audience is like, it's a cage match, man. Fire that referee.
Tommy Young.
Well, if you have rope break, then you shouldn't be able to use the rope as leverage, as Rick was doing earlier.
This move that Garvin was doing right there, that was one of my moves. That leg thing he did.
Oh, yeah, that leg drag over thing.
Yeah. I used to do that from the second rope. I love doing that shit, man. That, the sunset flip, that was my, those were two of my five.
What'd you call that? The pizza roll?
I don't remember what I called it. I just did it. It's like we were in the ring one day and I'm like, you know, let me try something. And I was already working on the leg to begin with. So I was like, all right, let me just drag him over to the second rope and flip right over top of him and yank the leg.
Nice. Cool.
High cross body, kick out at two.
Classic. Oh, backslide.
That is how you bridge up for a backslide, folks.
Yes.
Wow.
You put the leverage into it, make it look like something. God, these guys, this match has been flawless. It really has been. Oh, he's raking his head again. There's blood on the camera lens. Oh, this is a good old-fashioned beating.
Yeah.
This was a good call. We got to thank JR for this one.
Oof. Beating the crap out of each other.
Ric Flair trying to escape the cage again. Oh, boy, and he crotches himself. Sunset flip. That old man pulling off that move from the top. What? What? It's a cage match, man. Referee assistance, and Garvin still couldn't get the job done.
I mean, they're beating the hell out of each other, man.
They are now. Now it's just a beating. Time limit's dwindling, which is another thing. It's a cage match. Why do we have a time limit in a cage match here? What are we doing? Uh-oh, ref bump. And there it is, the knockout punch.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, man. I think Rick's going to get away with one, guys.
I don't know. It's going to be close.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Garvin's head right off the steel cage. There it is, Ric Flair. Your new and once again NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
Damn. Damn you, Ric Flair.
Dastardly. Dastardly.
Dastardly Ric Flair. Is again.
Ah.
How's he keep getting away with it, DJ? How?
I blind luck, Jason. Blind luck. All right. What a great match, man. What a good call on that one.
Yeah, man.
And then the worst part is we thought we were going to get away with it, get away from it, and then we got his daughter doing the same damn thing.
Yep. Nope. His daughter, same MO. All right.
She doesn't bleed all over the place, yeah.
This would be true. This would be true. All right. Before we get into our next watch along, you guys got any last minute comments before we go to commercial?
I remember when this happened. This was Jim Crockett's first attempt to do pay per view, and he got knifed in the back by one Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
What happened?
Vince went to the cable companies. Well, first Vince created Survivor Series basically to fuck this show over. That's why we have Survivor Series, because Crockett was going to do pay-per-view. Vince found out and he said, hell no, we're not going to, this will not stand. So they created Survivor Series, ran it on the same night. And then Vince strong-armed the cable companies and said, you will carry Survivor Series. You will not carry Starrcade or else you do not get to carry WrestleMania.
Oh. Yeah, when you guys get mad at Vince, that's a legit thing that you guys can, you know, get mad at him about.
So that, yeah, I mean, that was a legit, you know, Vince, you know, tyrant kind of move. And
okay, let's be real. If some iteration happens, if some iteration of that was pulled by Tony Khan in the next 15 years, with all the streaming services and all this bullcrap that we're going to get into, it's going to get worse before it gets better. People would think it would call it, his marks would call it the most shrewd, awesome business, cold, awesome thing to ever happen.
Oh yeah. And well, now our next match is funny you say that, because our next match is Jim Crockett's revenge.
Perfect. Yep. When we come back from commercial, we are going to fast forward just a little bit here to the very first ever Clash of the Champions. And as I remember it, Rob, please correct me if I'm wrong, they offered this on like regular TV, right?
Yes. So this was, like I said, this was Jim Crockett's revenge, because they ran this show the same day as WrestleMania 4. They ran it on free cable television.
Yep. So, and you know what? The Clash of the Champions ended up usually being really good shows. Yes. Like, for something you thought might be just like a throwaway thing, they had some banger-ass matches. Like, some classics came out of the Clash of the Champions. It was a great idea.
Yes.
So, we are going to go to commercial really quick. And when we come back, we are going to watch a tag team match from the first Clash of the Champions. But before we go to break, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can browse, look at, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirts that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go check that out at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot as I screw up the commercial on that one. The starving artist on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. Go check them out. Go pick one up. When we get back from commercial, we are going to go into Clash of the Champions.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains, now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today. Save big money
at Menards. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we are back. You have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. We want to thank you for following along with us on this watch-along triple header that we're doing here tonight. We are going to fast forward just a couple of years from the last event to the very first Clash of the Champions. On the Peacock, this again is under the WCW header. It is Clash of the Champions Season 1, Episode 1, Clash of the Champions 1. We are going to be watching a tag team title match. This is interesting. It's the Fantastics versus the Midnight Express for the NWA U.S. Tag Team Champion. United States, you heard that correctly, not world. United States Tag Team Championships. If you thought AEW had way too many belts, NWA was on one back in the day, weren't they, Rob?
Yeah, because what happened, Crockett has, when they were consolidating, basically tried to hold the line against Vince. So Jim Crockett was buying up some of the NWA territories, and just for a while, he had all their belts just kind of, you know, stuck. And so, you know, they eventually unified some of them and whatnot. But then, you know, when the dust settled, they had the world tag team titles and the U.S. tag team titles, because, you know, they had the world championship and the U.S. championship. And it was a good idea because, you know, the Horsemen were the world tag team champions, and you had, they were feuding with people, and then so you had other teams like the Midnight Express and the Fantastics, and you needed something for them to fight for. So you have your U.S. tag team titles.
And here we go. If you guys want to pause the podcast at this point, again, it is Clash of the Champions number one. That is Season 1, Episode 1. The timestamp on this one is 15 minutes and 25 seconds. Gentlemen, we are again going to start this one in T-minus 3, 2, 1. Go.
And
all right, this would have been a commercial break right here where they cut to.
Yes, his next Midnight Christmas Fantastic shakes up.
Yep. Look at those graphics.
Oh yeah, man.
State of the art. 19. What was this?
88. Yep. 88. Man.
Long time ago, Rob.
Yes, sir.
36 years.
And good God, there's a Jim Cornette cheering section there.
Holding up. There has never been a more punchable face in the history of pro wrestling than Jim Cornette.
Yes.
That was the most punchable dude ever. And I like these belts.
And he leaned all the way in. Look, I mean, yeah, he leaned all the way into it. He was not afraid to have people want to shoot him dead.
I was gonna say, you want to talk about a carny? That dude was a pioneer.
Oh yeah. Those really are nice looking belts. I want to get a closer shot of those. I like the red leather.
Yeah.
The plates look nice. I may have to go on the 2K. The 2K community creations and see if anybody's made those.
Oh, I'm sure they have. Because, yeah. And are they all right.
The Fantastics, were they Dennis Condrey and... No, who were these guys?
Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers.
Tommy Rogers. Okay, that's right. Bobby Fulton. Okay. God, it's been forever since I've seen this.
And the bell hasn't rung yet. Well, the match doesn't start yet, or...
It's not officially started yet. We've got a melee on the outside.
Yeah.
Already pandemonium breaking out here. We've almost got a fight, almost a chair shot.
We're going crazy.
Oh, a headshot with the chair.
Jesus. And we're just getting started.
Yep. Somebody pulled out a table. I don't think we're getting a table bump here in 1988, but...
They really weren't a thing?
Sporadically, you would see one, but not like they became.
Were they really a WCW or ECW creation? Popularization?
The table bumps, as we know them, kind of, but there were times where there were a couple times I got piled out on the table due to an injury angle.
Right. Oof. And there was one, I forget what the match was, but I think Harley Race went to put, I think, Hogan through a table. Hogan moved and Harley went through the table on one of the WWE events. And I think he actually, we talked about this with Ernest. I think on the Earnestly Speaking podcast, I think he legitimately gave himself like a hernia or something on that, didn't he? He injured himself on that spot.
Oh, yeah. Brother, those are those old like church chairs.
Yeah, no padding.
They're not like the light, flimsy aluminum ones that we have at events now, dude. Those, Rob knows what I'm talking about, like the church ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, they help mom set up the banquet or whatever. Holy shit.
These are all metal, brother.
Yeah, that'll put you in the home, brother.
And
God, Bobby and Eaton's such a worker. Bobby Eaton's timing was always perfect.
Yeah. Bobby Eaton, you know, top five tag team partner, I think.
Cornette outside having a aneurysm because his team's getting their asses worked over here.
Yeah.
I always thought in the face, Stan Lane looked a little bit like Lex Luger, so I always wondered whether they were related or not. I know they're not, but you look at him in the face a little bit, he kind of resembles Luger.
And, I mean, Midnight Express, a lot of the double team moves that have been from staples of tag team wrestling and stuff they came up with.
Yep. Pioneers in that, because before people just beat each other up.
Everything had such malice behind it.
Well, that's one thing. As much as I enjoy today's product, I think that's something that's sorely missing. These guys are too busy out here trying to perform moves and not busy enough making this look like a fight. It's like, I love watching the good moves and stuff, but I need to feel like these guys hate each other.
And, I mean, that's one thing that was good about Brock. Brock was violent.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, oh, you want to see two guys who hate each other? Stay tuned for our ultimate match.
And that's part of why I'm glad we're doing that, because they're probably in the last 10 years, the two guys that have done that the best.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we've got a table spot.
I mean, we're doing table spot here, but nobody's bringing farm equipment to the ring.
Nope. Nice elbow drop.
Oof.
And Bobby, man, with those punches and kicks that Bobby threw were just...
Yeah.
Yeah, and a nice power slam.
Yeah.
That's something that goes unnoticed a lot of times. Bobby had a hell of a power slam. Good working punches, just, man. And I didn't appreciate it at the time because they were bad guys, and I hated them the way you're supposed to.
Yeah.
But just so good in the ring. Everything he did looked good.
Yeah, Bobby, he had the whole dad bod thing going on, so he didn't look like, you know, he wasn't a big muscle guy or anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he still moved around. I mean.
And it made you pop for it even more is that he called himself Beautiful Bobby. Yeah. When he was anything but beautiful, like his tag team partner, he's in great shape. He's a good looking guy.
Here we go.
God, but I would pay front row money to see the Midnight Express just wear the Young Bucks out.
Oh, yeah.
Just wear it. I mean, I know we fan book a lot of times, you know, them against the LOD, them against the Steiners, and we do it just because, you know, we're dicks, but I legitimately would love to see them go in there and just make complete clowns out of the Young Bucks.
You know, Cornette would get a little bit extra on the racket shot. You know what I
mean? Absolutely. Did you think I was ribbing you? God. What did somebody describe? And I think I heard Cornette talk about this one time. He said that he heard somebody describe working the Midnight Express was like wrestling air traffic controllers. Because they're constantly calling shit. Educated feet.
Yeah.
Damn.
Down on the floor.
No padding. Jesus.
Yeah, number concrete.
Ugh.
What we got here?
They keep teasing a table spot. Oh, here he goes. Body slam on the table.
Yep. Okay.
Oh!
Yeah. That's not good. Not quite table spots of today, but somehow looked more painful.
Yeah, I'm right there. Yeah.
Just when the table has no give at all, you're like, oh.
It just you got a flat table on hard concrete. That sounds safe. And a bulldog on the table. This is great.
Ref lost control here, man. Oh, this lady. Very good.
I'm not sure the ref ever had control. This was a melee from the giddy up.
Yeah.
Oof. All right, we got to regroup here, pal. Little huddle on the outside. Regroup. Pep your partner up. Let's go. Yeah, the Midnights have done a good job of cutting the ring in half here. They've been wearing him out for at least the last 5 or 10 minutes here.
And that's how underdog baby faces, that's how you're supposed to work. You're supposed to get the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah.
And then you fight, and then you try to, you know, and then you get your hope spot to fight back, and, you know.
Yep, you get your little false comeback. Here it is. The ref didn't see the tag. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Good call by the ref. If you didn't see it, it didn't. Oh, Cornette with the racket. Uh-oh.
Oh! Oh, no.
We've got a ref bump, a manager bump.
Oh, Jesus.
A rocket launcher by the Fantastics, who are not going to win. This one's, what?
No, that's a second referee. So.
Oh, yeah, this is a fuck finish type of thing.
Yeah, and
oh, my goodness.
Stay tuned for the aftermath.
Oh, no.
Fantastic, celebrating. They've got the belts. They think they've won. The ref, the first ref is back in the ring.
The first ref said, no, they threw me over the top rope. These guys are just...
disqualified. We've got another... now we've just got chaos and pandemonium. This is a mess.
Oh, my goodness.
So, oh, we've got another racket shot. And Cornette just laid out both of the refs.
My God.
This is chaos.
Saturday morning cartoons, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going to get a good old-fashioned belt whipping here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he's tanning him with it. Look at that. All right, Cornette's going to get some. Cornette with the wind-up. This is awesome. This is incredible.
Oh, no.
Who's coming to the city?
Anybody? Oh, here we go.
And his partner came in for the save after he watched his buddy just... And the ref... Cornette with another racket shot on the ref.
Jesus.
Cornette's lost his mind.
And see, that's how you get the heat on somebody.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, and the ref, oh, shoot, the ref, I just noticed that. He threw the ref out right where the stairs are. And the ref saw it last minute and protected himself. That was pretty damn slick. Jeez. I just noticed that on the replay.
Yeah. So.
Wow, that was chaos. I loved it.
Pure chaos. That was incredible. Overbooked to the moon at the end. I love it.
There's every reason why we watch this stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we watch pro wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. Not every match needs to be that, but once in a while, hey, man, let's have some fun.
Absolutely. Have fun with it. And on that note, any last words on this match before we take another commercial break and go into our third one?
No, that was a good old-fashioned Saturday morning cartoon wrestling like I love. So thank you. For whoever, Rob, good job.
Yeah, that was Rob's call on that one. All right, we are going to go to one more commercial break here before we get in and watch our last match. Last match is going to be Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns from SummerSlam 2018. And again, we want to thank you for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast and invite you to go over to thechairshot.com. From there, you can listen to all the podcasts. We've got you covered on all avenues of sports entertainment. It's all there. The wrestling podcast, us, DWI, Greg DeMarco show. We've got entertainment with the bandwagon nerds. We've got hockey talk, all kinds of stuff. Go check that out at thechairshot.com. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we get back, we're going to get into our last watch along.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, and we are back one last time here for our last watch-along of the night. We are jumping back in the DeLorean, fast-forwarding to 2018. This is SummerSlam. That is Season 31, Episode 1, SummerSlam 2018. If you want to pause the podcast, the timestamp on this one is 3 hours, 45 minutes, and 45 seconds. My God, this was a long one. All right, yeah, this is again...
Back in the day of four-hour pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah. This 2018 and 2019, man, there was some marathon-length pay-per-views, man.
It got brutal, man. So, yeah. I mean, the matches were good, but just sometimes by the end, you're like, oh, God, I really want to watch this match, but I really want to go to bed. I think they were still doing Sundays back then.
Yeah.
So Monday mornings came hard on WrestleMania and SummerSlam weekends.
Good.
All right, so we are going to start this one in T-minus 3, 2, and 1. Go. So we got the red leather Universal Championship belt, which I was telling the guys, you know, off camera, I loved. I loved the red leather. I loved everything about it.
Because for me, I mean, like, I remember like the old red leather NWA TV title, and that was one of the nicest looking belts they had. So,
and we have Money in the Bank winner Braun Strowman all the way on the to the ring. This match hasn't even started yet.
Meanwhile, this is after these two, you know, had one of the most amazing matches with one of the worst endings in WrestleMania history. At their previous WrestleMania, WrestleMania 34. And this, we are on the cusp of wrongs being righted at the moment that the Monster in the Bank walks out. So I'm basically having a stroke at this point.
I mean, because look, I thought this was when I thought they were going to basically pile the last bit of dirt on top of Roman in this match.
Now, Rob, is it this one you said you were at?
Oh, no. I was not.
We were discussing a different battleground because Battleground is coming up.
Yep, and we are going to talk about Battleground at the conclusion of this match. Braun Strowman out here teasing a cash-in.
He's declaring that no matter who wins, he's going to cash in on them.
Yeah, look, this was a tough summer because, you know, WrestleMania 34 happened. And then they kind of hung Roman out to dry because he was still like the main guy in Raw, but he didn't have a belt.
He should have just won a NOLA. Like, what the fuck were we doing?
Yeah, exactly. And,
Rob, don't take me back there, man. At this point, I fully expected Roman to win and Brock to cash in and win. That was my prediction from the get-go, as soon as this was teased. And I was very upset. Damn briefcase again?
Yeah, I give it to him. Braun was a hot commodity at this point, though.
He was doing everything right, man. He was doing everything right. It was also about as much about what he wasn't doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like he understood his motion. And then, so this is my favorite part about this match. We are off to the races, baby. Bell rings, Superman punch, Superman punch, Superman punch. Cause
spam the finishers. Cause he learned from WrestleMania 30. Don't lock up with Brock. Yeah. You come out there and you hit him hard. You hit him fast. You hit him with all the big shit early on.
Well, and that was when he was winning all their previous matches. Is when he just started.
We've got the guillotine.
No, that's funny to see this angle of it.
Yeah.
Roman took the thing that he hated and turned it into a weapon.
Yeah.
That was very, very, very deliberate, his use of the specifically the guillotine when he came back. I firmly believe
that. Roman muscling this big ass up.
I love this spot. I don't care, man. I don't care how much Brock just helped him there.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh, Roman still had to deadlift him. He just kind of started to fall forward, and Brock put his hand down a little. He didn't really help him.
And the spine buster was solid.
Yeah. Brock is...
And no one sells this kind of what the fuck is going on part of the sprint better than Brock Lesnar, even though he obviously just jumped Roman back into the guillotine. But I love Brock's, like, just, oh, my God, I'm in uncharted waters because I'm not in control.
And that's what's smart here, and that's the smart storytelling, is that Brock's like, Jesus, this guy's all over me. Let me put him in something that slows him down. And that's where you get that real fight feel from this. Is Brock's like, he's this is an onslaught. If I don't stop the onslaught, this is over.
We get another spine buster.
Yep.
Big dog gasping for air. Brock not much doing much better. Monster in the Bank just lurking. Paul Heyman looks like he hasn't had a day off in a while.
Paul Heyman always looks like he's like ready to have a stroke at any given moment.
Perpetually tired, Paul Heyman. Perpetually stressed, perpetually put upon. Poor stuff, poor Paul. Roman remembers what happened the last time the gloves came off.
Uh-oh, and we're headed to Suplex City.
Yep.
Here we go, baby. It's one. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
It's two.
Couple of Germans. Brock's had enough.
I love the guy in the crowd who has the numbers because he just held up a two.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to have a three for this one. And going back to one of our segments a few weeks ago or last week, you know, the sequence. I'm sorry, Brock Lesnar can do it every pay-per-view. I will pop for Suplex City every single time.
Yeah.
Once a show, doesn't matter who he's doing it to, like, it's just awesome, man.
And most of the
seeing
time,
in person is a treat, by the way.
And when people do like the three suplexes in a row, it usually looks kind of fake and phony.
Yeah.
When he does it, it looks real. It looks real that somebody would not be able to get up, you know, and break the second one or the third one.
Then Roman goes through the ropes. It's Mr. Monster in the bank. Uh-oh. Brock's getting the right idea.
Braun gets an F5 for his efforts. Thanks for showing, sir.
Yeah.
And then this is my favorite part. I mean, I know Roman's a case study, but how many times has Brock been screwed by the briefcase? Because obviously one of the times Roman was screwed, Brock was equally.
Yeah, but at least Brock's the Money in the Bank winner. Roman can't say that.
True.
Yeah.
That's also true. And he might have been one of the best ones.
He's
wearing him out with that briefcase.
Oh, my God, dude. He's not pulling that thing at all. It looks like it had bricks in it. That's my favorite part, him launching it.
Yeah.
And that just gets a chair. I'm sorry, that's not the same chair that the Midnight Express was using.
No.
If Brock Lesnar had hit Braun with one of those chairs, Braun would still be in the hospital.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar? Forget it. Oh, now we get back in the ring with your weapon. What are you thinking, Brock? Yeah, you know, he could just wallop Roman with the chair and he can retain.
There it is.
And then Brock gets the chair in his face for his efforts and then lays down for the pin like a good boy.
Satisfying.
I popped to the moon, dude. I went ballistic.
I felt relieved more than anything else.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be the last pile of dirt they were going to shovel on top of Roman.
I hadn't got quite that far, but I was very, very set and prepared for them to pull the rug out from under this dude again.
Now, it was obvious at this point that Vince still believed in him, still believed that there was something there. I think we had to go on a journey to get there, and there was obviously just an unfortunate group of people that didn't care for Roman, and I think Vince was still trying to figure out how to make it work for, you know, as many people as possible during that point.
So. Yeah, but in the meantime, you know, until you figure it out, full speed ahead, you're not getting rid of the guy because he's selling a boatload of t-shirts the whole time.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Right. So
you just ride the big dog until you came up with the tribal chief, and then, my God.
Yeah, then the money started rolling in, and we're in a much better place now than we were in 2018.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Before we get out of here tonight, we do want to talk NXT Battleground. Got a big show coming up, and we thought we'd just kind of go down. Jason, do you have the card?
I don't.
You don't? Okay, well, we can just talk about what we know, because I'm not real caught up on NXT. I know the big things. I know the biggest thing we've got going right now is NXT, you know, women's champion Roxanne facing TNA Knockouts champion Jordynne Grace. And okay. I think that's going to be awesome.
I do have a lineup here.
Okay.
I do too, but Robco.
So.
We can just go down it real quick.
Okay. The ladder match for the inaugural NXT Women's North American Championship. We got Sol Ruka versus Lash Legend versus Fallon Henley. Jada Parker versus Mia Yim versus Kalani Jordan. I'm rooting for either Lash or Mia here. Either one of them wins, I'm good.
I want Mia Yim.
Mia Yim. I'm pulling for Mia Yim, man.
It would be awesome if her and Keith were both North American champion. Aside from that awesome bit of trivia for them, we love Mia anyway. If you go back in the show at all, we put Mia Yim over all the time. And it would be cool to see her get a center stage role, even if it's just kind of a transitional thing to the next guy or gal, excuse me.
And next, we have a triple threat for the North American Championship. Oba Femi defending against Wesley and Joe Coffey. I think we know how this one's going.
Wesley's going to bump like a madman.
Oh, he might die on Sunday.
Yeah, you just got back, brother. So let's keep it in fourth gear. No need for fifth or sixth yet.
Yeah.
This one's a tough one for me, man. I know how it's going to end. The sentimental part of me wants Wesley to win.
I know
they're going to play it straight on this one.
Coffee being in there though means you don't have to pin Oba.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking.
You could get the hey man. Sometimes just do the thing. Like really, the dude just got back. Everyone loves him. Oba will be just fine.
Yeah.
And just do the thing.
And,
okay.
Because look, you could have Wes pin Coffee. And then you could do a singles match between Wes and Oba, and Oba just, you know, then you get your execution.
Get your execution, and then Wesley graduates to the main roster.
He probably doesn't have much time left down there. Just injury aside, like, the dude.
He's basically back in NXT right now just to get the reps back in.
Yep. Yeah. So we have an NXT Underground match, Shayna Baszler versus Lola Vice. I'm not sure because, you know, they do have the veterans go over in some of these matches sometimes. It happens enough where, you know, you can't rule out Shayna winning. And also, I mean, if Shayna and Zoe are, they just had a title shot for the tag team belts in there, like with a DQ finish, and so I'm assuming they're going to get another match. I think this is a coin flip. I mean, because they have the veterans win these matches enough times, so it wasn't a problem either way.
And Lola wouldn't lose a thing.
No, because she's still very new, and
she's still very on the upswing. I want to use another word aside from hot, because you know she's very hot right now. She's on a great trajectory, analogies aside, and very obvious.
The trajectory to the top doesn't always have to be linear. You can take side roads, and a side road is her losing in this underground match to Shayna Baszler. It's perfectly okay.
Right, because everything around that girl right now is cooking, so you're fine.
And, all right, so next we have Roxanne Perez defending against Jordynne Grace.
Jordynne Grace, new NXT TNA champion.
I would not be surprised.
I'm 50-50, guys.
I'm in the same boat you guys are. I think it would be neat. I think they may do a Dusty Rhodes Superstar Billy Graham finish here to protect both ladies, but I think it would be very intriguing if Jordynne Grace wins this one. Wins it.
I don't see what's in it for TNA to just send her over here to do a job.
Right.
It's a champion, yeah.
I mean, like, the Royal Rumble's different because only one person wins and 29 people get thrown out.
Right.
But just sending her over here just to do a job,
Right, it's fine. It's fine when you're thrown out of the match that Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, you know, other being the other superstars are thrown out of.
Yeah.
So this is a little trickier.
So I think
DQ.
Yeah.
DQ finish.
That. Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think you go fuck finish here, unfortunately. But I would like to see the balls of a decision. But again, I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. Any way you cut this one is really okay. I'd be fine if Jordan really did come over here to do a job. Fine, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. So,
yeah. Well, if I were the booker, I would not send my women's champion over to do
no,
a job.
No, I wouldn't. Well, that's so. I said, but if there's a longer play here with these two companies. I would be very, very interesting for Jordan Grace to win this one.
Yeah. And lastly, as far as we, because we still no word on what's going to happen with Trick and Ethan Page, we have Nathan Frazier and Axiom defending against the OC, Gallows and Anderson. This is another one. I don't know.
You go either way here.
Yeah, I mean. There's no the harm
OC are, have I dare say they have new life down in NXT. I think they found a lane, definitely. And so yeah. Them being bad guys of the summer, I don't hate it.
I'm okay with the OC winning this one.
Yeah.
So and then let's just say they do make the match, Trick and All Ego, Ethan Page. What do you think?
I think Trick won't, because Ethan's not actually signed. He said himself he's not actually signed to anybody. I think we've all done these hypothetical, this one maybe a title change. I think this is the one where you play it straight, and because Trick needs to win. He's his first defense on the takeover. Right, he needs to win. You know what I mean,
all right, fair.
All right. All in all, I think it's going to be a fun event. The NXT shows have been knocking it out of the park. Sean has been cooking down there for quite a while. I think this event continues that trend. I think we're going to have fun with it.
Okay. It looks like according
the table to of Chef Sean,
according to what we're signaling timeline here, it looks like Tatum Paxley may be going over to face Jordan on some future TNA thing or something.
Okay. So I'm down for that.
There was some backstage interaction or something or other, and so that may be
to be continued.
Yes.
I like it. All right, gentlemen, I think I'm good here. I think we can call it a wrap here.
Yeah, I think so.
Everybody good?
Yeah, and Jason last week he expressed it, how much we missed the Tribal Chief, so. if you don't pull the plug here, I may have to go into a "we miss you" thing myself.
Yeah, no, we're gonna pull the plug here. We're gonna hold that because when Roman comes back, it is gonna be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. We do miss him. Anyway, I'm gonna go back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with Jason. Sir, fun show tonight. This was a good one.
Rob, any show with Charlotte Flair is always a good show. It's a better show, I should say. Yes. And I miss her too.
Yes, we miss you.
Yes, this was an excellent show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for being with us. Thank you for watching along. Thank you for indulging us. You're all wonderful people.
And yes. from the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, thanks again.
No problem. And I'm going to do a shameless plug here because I ran back-to-back here tonight. Our buddy Brooklyn, we had a nice little conversation about the WNBA drama. And that is on the Rob the Genius podcast. That will be up on Wednesday morning.
Definitely going to have to listen to that one. Brooklyn Ike, we got to give him his flowers. He's been with us since day one-ish. Yes. Giving us lots of content, lots of stuff to talk about. We had him on the show once. Reached out to him here recently, trying to find a time that works to get him back on the show. He's one of those guys that's a pal of ours that works like a maniac. So he's hard to pin down. So I'm glad you got to spend some time with him. And I definitely want to have him back on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast to talk some graphs.
Good stuff. All right.
That's it. Going to be it for this week. Again, thank you for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. And we're out of here until next week.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.